ratified by the voters just 5 elections ago. Representative Croft.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 1 on the member's desk.
Without objection, we're going back to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment. Representative Croft.
Move amendment number 1.
There is an objection. Representative Croft, you want to talk about your amendment?
Yeah, and we've had a big packet today, and so it has been distributed, but maybe you can find it in your piles. I'll just read it because it's one sentence. This subsection does not limit the authority of a municipality to adopt or enact an ordinance that provides reasonable restrictions on the discharge of firearms within the municipality. Many of you have been passed out a memo from Fred Boness, who's the municipal attorney in Anchorage, and also some concerns from the city of Kenai, possibly the borough, but at least the city. They're all centering on the laws that Anchorage and Kenai, and I'm sure many other jurisdictions have, that say it is a violation of their municipal code to discharge a firearm within city limits. And they often, all of them that I know of, provide exceptions for shooting ranges, lawful hunting activities, those sorts of things. So they say if you do this preemption law, you'd be preempting our local ordinance about standing in the middle of the street and shooting off a gun. And we don't think you should. I think that's a fair point. I agree with and support the bill's premise that you ought to have, in general, uniform firearm laws. And I think we should consider when there should be exceptions. That is, this body and the other body should say, in these specific, narrowly defined areas, we think it's appropriate to have local laws rather than a uniform law. Prime sponsor of the bill that eliminated the requirement for concealed carry permits, it's particularly important to me that we be able to have that policy statewide, and that somebody driving from Kenai to Fairbanks, passing through the Anchorage municipality, not be held for a violation of law for what was perfectly legal under state law, perfectly legal in the Kenai and the Mat-Su, but not when they passed through Anchorage. If you look at the memo that Mr. Boness sent us, there are 3 examples that he gives of where our bill would preempt. One is the concealed carry weapon requirement itself, the permit requirement, and I'm perfectly comfortable preempting that. In fact, that's really what I wanted to do and what the sponsor, I believe, wanted to do. The second is this discharge of firearms issue, which we'll get to in a second. And the third is guns on school grounds, but we both have, both Anchorage and state, have prohibitions on having a gun on school property. Ours, under state law, provides an exception for an unloaded gun in the trunk. The Anchorage law does not, which again I think is a good example of why you would like preemption. If you are complying with the state law, you put your gun unloaded into the trunk and then drive through the Anchorage municipality to pick up your child. That's the normal way you do it, complying with state law in some other jurisdiction. You have violated the law, and it'd be hard to know. It was perfectly legal in another jurisdiction. It wouldn't be there. And I think our state law had the right balance between the right to keep and bear arms and child safety, which is important as well. So really, of the 3 examples given by the Anchorage municipality, 2 of them are, I believe, appropriate for preemption. They're the very reason that I'd like to preempt. It's only the middle one, and that's what this amendment addresses. It says, it does seem to make sense that municipalities have the power to prohibit discharging weapons in the municipality if they want. And you as a gun owner, it doesn't affect, you know, driving through all that. You better be careful before you discharge one. There might be a local ordinance prohibiting it, even if we don't have a general statewide prohibition on discharging. So that's what it does. We keep the concept of the bill. We keep the preemption idea. But we say in this narrowly defined area, if you want to have other laws, you may.
Other debate on the amendment. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I should have an amendment to the amendment at the clerk's desk. And the amendment to the amendment would be on line 3 of amendment number 1, to change the word discharge to the word use. Change the one word discharge to the word use.
That's your amendment to the amendment? There is an objection to that amendment to the amendment. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the members would look at the Fred Boness memorandum dated March 31, He's given us a memorandum dated today. That's not the memorandum I'm referring to. It's the memorandum dated March 31 that I've distributed with a number of Anchorage ordinances. And I'd like the members to look at one of the ordinances, Mr. Speaker. It's on page 2 of 5, which lists all the ordinances that might be voided by this legislation. It's ordinance A1, 8.25.030A1. Shoot, discharge, or flourish any firearm, etc. The word flourish would not be prohibited. This ordinance, in the sense of prohibiting somebody waving around, brandishing, or flourishing a gun, would be preempted if we only limit it to discharge. If we allow the word use, then people would not be able recklessly to wave guns around in violation of a municipal ordinance. This is an inherently dangerous activity that should be prohibited, and that's one of the reasons that I think it's important to adopt the amendment to the amendment. Thank you.
Other debate on the amendment to the amendment? You ready for the question on the amendment to the amendment? Question is, shall the amendment to amendment number 1 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
7 yeas, 27 nays.
So with a vote of 7 yeas and 27 nays, the amendment to amendment number 1 has failed to pass the House. That has leaves us with amendment number 1 back in front of us. Is there any other debate on amendment number 1? Is there any objection to amendment number 1? That amendment number 1 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
The bill's back in third reading.
That's right. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment. I would ask unanimous consent to return to second reading for the purpose of considering amendment number 2.
Object to going back. Brief it easy. There is an objection. There is no objection to going back to a second reading. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. Moving the objection. I move the amendment.
There is an objection. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This goes back to the issue that we did not deal with yesterday, which was whether to basically adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute or the bill that's before us, unamended by Judiciary. We have distributed a number of different amendments from the Anchorage municipality that would be, I believe, held inconsistent with the current bill. Mr. Benes, who is the city attorney for the municipality of Anchorage, has indicated very clearly that things can be inconsistent that are not in conflict. In other words, that the term inconsistent is substantially broader than the term in conflict. And these have been distributed along with, again, the memorandum of March 31. I'm just going to mention some of them. The memorandum itself talks about people bringing doing business with the municipality and employees or citizens, allowing them to bring guns onto the workplace. On page 1 of 5, possession of weapon with intent to assault, that could be held to be inconsistent. The flourishing language on discharge of firearms that I mentioned a minute ago. The bringing of firearms, even if they are unloaded, onto licensed premises where they serve alcohol. And then a number of provisions allowing or prohibiting parents and guardians, for example, to provide firearms to violent minors, and prohibiting the sale or furnishing of firearms to certain minors unless they're accompanied by a parent or a guardian. These are simply some of the ordinances that would be invalidated by this. Now, some of them may be wise, some of them may be unwise, but the question is whether a municipality that's a home rule municipality should be allowed to enact such ordinances. And these are far cry from the person, the only example I have seen that would bring merit to the bill in this respect is somebody innocently driving through a municipality in a car and suddenly is in violation because they happen to possess a weapon. Well, giving a gun to a violent person with a history of violence is far cry from that. And what I'm saying here is that a municipality should have the ability to enact such an ordinance. It's essential for public safety. The police chief of Anchorage and various other locations have said so. Secondly, it is a very much of an assault on the right of a municipality, a home rule municipality, to enact its own public safety ordinances. And third, it will basically turn this legislature into a super municipal assembly. It'll have us doing all kinds of work that we shouldn't be doing, that should be left to our own municipalities. All the time we hear on the floor of this body, well, what's good for, say, Anchorage isn't good for the rest of the state or vice versa or whatever. Here, we're going to have to adopt one theory that fits all or try to legislate for each and every municipality. Right now, it is unconstitutional for a state to, or any legislature, to adopt a law that's inconsistent or violates a person's Second Amendment's rights. It's also against public policy, although not technically necessarily unconstitutional, to enact legislation that violates the right of a municipality, a home rule municipality, or a first or second class borough or city, to enact its own laws. And for those reasons, I think it is essential that these be narrowed as much as possible and simply avoid those ordinances that are in direct conflict with the state law. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate on the amendment? Ready for the question? Representative Curtillo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I want to rise in support of Amendment Number 2. When I first read the difference in language, I had a hard time deciding which was broader, inconsistent, or the having to be in conflict with, and I still think there's a small question about that. But having read Mr. Benes's memo and his opinion, I think that it's really incumbent upon this body to not preempt localities who know best, you know, where they want to have certain restrictions, whether it's important to that community who, by the way, has to vote on this. I mean, it's not like someone just enacts it even on an assembly level. The people have to vote on these restrictions before they're enacted. And I think it's incumbent on us to say, you know, it has to truly be in conflict. It has to be in a state of disharmony with what we're saying before we're going to preempt you. Because to preempt something, you have to, it's a big thing. It's saying we're going to encompass this field. We're not going to let you have any say over it. And Alaskans are independent, and they're really independent when it comes to their firearms. The communities should be given the control over this. So I think that Amendment Number 2, given Mr. Benes's interpretation of the language differences, is an important amendment. And if you think that your municipalities should have the authority to make these decisions for themselves unless they are in conflict with us, unless they openly are not in harmony with us, it's not just a simple inconsistency, not just a comma here or there, then you're going to want to vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Chenault.
Speaker, and to relay some of the concerns of some of the other members here, 1161-195, and I may have to read a little bit if it's okay, Mr. Speaker, but
that objection.
Misconduct involving weapons that are state crimes, possesses a firearm during the commission of an offense, violates the issue of school grounds, parking lots, private schools, elementary, discharging firearms in the direction of people, buildings. We also have misconduct involving weapons in the fourth degree that answer some of the representative from districts 20's concern. There was also, I don't have it right here in front of me, Mr. Speaker, but also state law dealing with selling or providing guns to people with mental capacities and others. So I think that the majority of the issues that the previous speakers have spoke about are already addressed in state law. And I think that that is one of the reasons that we don't need this. The other issue is, and I don't know if I can make the argument on it, but in 39 instances where we use in conflict with, none of these references relate to municipal ordinances. Any time that we have looked at the municipal ordinance issue, we have used inconsistent with. So I think that we need to continue to look at that. They talk about legal opinions. We all have seen this one from our own legal staff. I don't know any of the particular lawyers in general, so I would hate to say anything about any of them. But the question was asked about the inconsistent to in conflict, and the response we got back simply is that they believe that it is less certain as how the court will interpret this provision if we were to put it in there. So I would ask that the members vote no on this and try to keep the issue how we've had it in the past.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe the previous speaker has made an eloquent argument that I was going to get up and attempt to make. Thank you, sir.
Other debate on the amendment? Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm looking at the statute that the representative from Kenai mentions, and it really does kind of point out the problem, because here we are going to have misconduct involving weapons in the second degree if you're on the grounds of or on a parking lot immediate adjacent to, and then it lists schools, preschool, elementary, junior high. What about charter schools? I mean, it doesn't specifically list it. I suppose you can start arguing that's a preschool in some instances. Is it on the grounds of, if it's in the building, but it's not right in the location itself? I mean, these are the things that you start to say are inconsistent, and I think that's the problem. If it's in conflict, if it completely disagrees with what we've said, maybe that's one thing. But to go the broad way of inconsistency, I think really usurps the municipality's authority where they know best. Thank you.
Another debate, Representative Guerra.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I was going to save this for third, but I'm going to speak to it now because it's directly relevant to the amendment that's on the floor. The last speaker is correct. If you use the word that is proposed in this amendment, you're going to give cities a little bit more latitude to protect their citizens as we feel, as they know best, as local government knows best. If you reject the amendment, we're going to take that amount of latitude away from cities. There's been some discussion of, well, are there ever any circumstances where cities try to protect their residents help me here. Can you help me here? Is better a word? Can I use better?
Sure.
I'll have to look that up in the Scrabble dictionary. Are there instances where cities are more protective of their residents as far as gun laws than the state is? And there are actually many instances. So let me give you a few instances that I think would be protected, and the cities would be able to protect their citizens under this amendment, but won't be if we don't adopt the amendment. In Anchorage, you're not allowed to possess a firearm in a bar, even if it's unloaded, because it's very simple to load a firearm once you get drunk. The whole purpose is we don't want you to drink to excess, then reach into one pocket and load the gun that you have in the other pocket. That's why you're not allowed to bring a gun into a bar. Under state law, you can, as long as it's unloaded. If we don't pass this amendment, we're going to tell cities that they have to allow people to bring guns into bars as long as they put the ammunition in a separate pocket. I think I want to leave cities the latitude to protect their citizens that way. The only example we've really ever heard about where people are worried that the laws are going to change from city to city to city to village to municipality is the law regarding concealed weapons, or weapons that you might have in your car that you're transporting across the state, hunting weapons, things like that. And that's fine. We shouldn't change the law as people drive through municipalities or walk through municipalities like that. And the amendment would allow us to make sure that people are protected that way. So that concern is satisfied. But you do have other city laws. The other one that, frankly, I'd like to bring alive as an example in my community, I have a community where gangs are prevalent. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Life inside certain areas in a city is different than life in the woods or life in a small village or small community. We don't want gang members carrying around semi-automatic weapons in front of senior citizen centers, in front of public housing areas where children live, to assert their authority. We don't want gang members to be allowed to assert their authority like that. So we don't want them carrying around semi-automatic weapons on their shoulders. There's nothing in state law that prevents that because, frankly, in certain areas of the state, it makes sense to be able to do that. In some areas of the state, some cities say that doesn't make sense, and that's why you're not allowed to flourish your weapon in Anchorage. So I think the best compromise we can come up with is this amendment that gives cities latitudes to protect against gang activities, to protect against weapons in bars, to protect against things that would otherwise endanger the citizens of those communities. So I think the amendment, which frankly was adopted in the Judiciary Committee, I think should pass this floor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other debate on Amendment Number 2, Representative Groenberg, and wrap up?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The record will reflect that the language in conflict was suggested by the Anchorage Municipal Attorney. And it was suggested after very careful consideration of the subject. What the previous speaker, my friend from downtown Anchorage, said reflects the diversity of Alaska. What's right for some of the members, many parts of the state, is not necessarily right for the folks who live in his district and in a large part of my district. And just as the members from other parts of the state ask us to respect their needs, this is one time we are making the same request. I'm going to relate a personal story. I've told a few of you, but I haven't told all of you. A child was murdered in front of my house, shot down in a gunfight, caught in a crossfire. Think about a 13-year-old, 14-year-old. Two men were fighting with a gun. I do have an order in this fight. I don't want that to happen again.
Any other debate on Amendment Number 2? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 2 pass the House? Members, please vote. Clerk, please lock the room. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
10 yeas, 26 nays.
So the vote of 10 yeas and 26 nays, Amendment Number 2, has failed to pass the House. We are back in third reading. Is there any other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 184, amended in the House, passed the House in third reading. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 4 nays.
So, with a vote of 32 yeas and 4 nays, House Bill 184 has passed the House. Representative Samuels. Left. Representative Gardner.
Can we roll back up the calendar, please, to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll roll back up the calendar to introduction of guests.
I lost my notes, so I'll go from memory. In the Taylor Gallery is a constituent of District 26. And she is here with the Women's Political Caucus and the Women's Political Business Action League. Sue Johnson, please help me welcome her.
Any other guests for introduction while we're here? Representative Ledoux.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask this body to join me in welcoming two friends and constituents of mine from Kodiak, Susie Byerstorfer and Joanne Brody. They're here in the Taylor Gallery, and they're in on a legislative fly-in with the Alaska Conservation Voters. So please help me enjoy welcoming them.
Any other guests to be introduced while we're here? Representative Cisna.
Brief of these, please.
Okay. Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, District 28 is dominating the Warren A. Taylor Gallery. I have, Mr. Speaker, may we move back up the calendar for introduction of guests?
Without objection.
Thank
introduction
you.
Introduction of guests.
Now that we're there. So District 28 is dominating the Warren A. Taylor Gallery. We have a group of women that have flown in for the Alaska Women's Political Caucus fly-in, and I'll just put a plug in that they're having an event at Fernando's this evening and invite all of you to come and visit with them. Four very smart, gifted women, please help me welcome Mary Rasmussen, Robin Smith, Pauline Utter, and Kathy Gerard.
Other guests while we're here? Okay, let's move down to citations. Mr. Majority Leader? Any other items on the agenda?
There are no citations on today's
agenda. Oh, okay. Right. Don't have to worry about that. Is there any unfinished business? Representative Curtulli, you have some unfinished business?
No, I'd just like to give notice of reconsideration for House Bills 131 and 184.
Notice of reconsideration on 131 and 184. Committee announcements. Representative Elkin. Right after session, transportation. Any other committee announcements? You have a committee announcement, Representative Sisna?
Not a committee.
Oh, Representative Meyer?
Mr. Speaker, finance right after session.
Finance after session, Representative Roper.
Mr. Speaker, rules will meet tomorrow 8:30 in Capitol Room 106. We'll be considering HB 116 school funds relating to boarding schools, HB 156 Commission on Aging, and HB 121. Service area, second class borough.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Hess will be held on as scheduled at 3:00.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will be meeting tomorrow morning, sadly at the same time as the Rules Committee, to hear the confirmation hearing for Mr. Marcus with the other bodies, Judiciary Committee, 8:30 a.m. over in the Senate, other body's Judiciary Room, which is the Belts Room. And then following that, we'll come back to our House Judiciary Room and complete our hearing on House Bill number 53.
Other committee announcements? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Special Committee on Education will meet tonight at 5:30 in Room 106.
Special Committee on Education at 5:30. Other committee announcements? Other announcements? Oh, you got a committee announcement, Representative Gatto?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Transportation, which is scheduled when it was overlapped by this, still has about an hour left, so transportation will be meeting immediately after. Did you already say it? I apologize for repeating it, but that's how important it is.
Other announcements? Special orders. Oh, are you in special orders?
Mr. Speaker, I actually was standing on the announcements. I just didn't get up soon enough.
Sorry, other announcements.
So thank you very much, Mr.
Speaker. Too, that's all right.
Oh, that's a long story,
Other announcements.
Oh, yeah, that could be a special order. the representative from District 28 mentioned the reception tonight, but I just wanted to make sure that people knew that the Alaska Woman's Legislative Fly-In reception is going to be at Fernando's at 116 North Franklin Street, and it'll be a really great opportunity to have some great food and to have some good conversation between 5 and 7. Perfect timing for after all of the committees everybody's going to go to next. So if everybody could come, that'd be great. Thanks.
Any other announcements? Special orders? Representative Oakberg.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak on decorum of debate.
Quorum of debate without objection.
Just very briefly, Mr. Speaker. I noticed there was two instances on the floor today that members, while we were in third reading, the sponsor of the bill, Gate, arose and had presented their initial debate on subjects, and then other members rose subsequently and offered and requested removal going back to third or second for a purpose of the specific amendment. Now, whatever arrangements are and so forth, I think it's a little, it's not quite kosher, if you will. It's not quite good form or even, it's really, I don't think, entirely proper to do that. I know if you have agreements and so forth, I understand it, those would be honored. But if you're going to do that, please try to do it before somebody gets up and makes their initial argument. I know if you're in the room, it helps a lot to do that. But I just want to remind people.
Other special orders. Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. I wonder if I can talk about a spanking.
Not objection.
Well, we have a birthday today, Mr. Speaker, and it's a lady that sits right in front of me. I wonder if I can read her horoscope and her biography.
Absolutely.
Okay, her horoscope, she's an Aries, Mr. Speaker, and it says, her horoscope for today says, others hold the cards. Rather than try to buck the current trend, stay mellow and direct. How you see a situation could change with some startling news. Revise and rethink as you deem necessary. Friends will come through. And today, Confucius say that it is wise to go along with the majority leader. So, she says, Berta says she doesn't really believe in astrology, but of course that's very typical of Aries. Now, Berta was born April 12, 1954. Her maiden name was Black, Berta Black. She was born in Salt Lake City, Utah. Married 27 years to Michael. Three children, Cassandra, Jared, Dylan. She's a manager of Brown Bear Software. Has a degree in psychology from the University of California, Riverside. President, Rogers Park Community Council. Vice President, Tudor Area Community Council. A member of Bridge Builders. Special interests, reading. And she says she just finished a fascinating book entitled At Ease by Max Amender. In her statement, she says that words that soak into your ears are whispered, not yelled. And you know, Mr. Speaker, yesterday I asked her if she had freckles when she was young. I think she would have. And she said, as a matter of fact, she did. And she added that a face without freckles is like a sky without stars. I wonder if the Fairbanks, my friend from Fairbanks, can lead us in singing Happy Birthday to Berta.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Berta. Happy birthday to you.
Representative
Gardner. This afternoon, my staff had a birthday cake and flowers, and one of my staffers said, too bad you have to spend your birthday here. And I thought about it, and I said, well, there's nowhere I'd rather spend today. I'm right where I want to be today, and I thank you all.
Any other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until Wednesday, April 13th at 10 a.m.
No objection. We'll stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, the 13th.